Just one and one. That's where we ought to start, isn't it? And then get your finger over there in John 1 and 1, okay? John 1 and 1. Genesis 1 and 1. The book of Genesis. How many of you know what the book of Genesis, the name Genesis means? Beginnings. It's beginnings plural, by the way. Beginnings, barashit. It means beginnings, one stacked upon the other. All through eternity. The translation probably should read, in eternity past. All right? That's the best way to translate that word, barashit. In beginnings, the Hebrew says, in beginnings, created Elohim. Now, where's that brother that handed up, read those names a while ago? There you are. Elohim. In beginnings, Elohim. Elohim means, write the word up here for you. That's in Hebrew and that's in English. Okay? So you can see it. Elohim, the term Elohim means the triune Godhead. All right? There is a singular in Hebrew, a duel, and a plural means three or more. And this im on the back of this, as you see right here and here, that im means plural. That's three or more. All right? El Hayim. Elohim, the three powerful ones. Now we have to remember also that we're not talking about three gods, but the triune God. Okay? The only God you're ever going to see is the Son. That's it. He is Jehovah. All right? Is that?
Can you all see?
Yeah.
All right? In beginnings, let's put it this way, in eternity past, created, and the word created there, that word bara, means to bring to a finished product. How many of you ever built furniture? All right. Is anybody in here a ham operator? Nope. All right. They used to build ham radios, and it wasn't finished until it worked. All right. Yeah, I mean, it's not finished. Now, a guitar. I saw some of you have guitars and mandolins here. A long time ago, I used to work in a guitar shop, and we used to work on Buck Owens' guitars and Merle Haggard's and all them. I did all the ones on Hee Haw years ago. And we'd work on those guitars, and we'd build guitars. And we built Mosrite guitars. And you started out with wood, but it wasn't finished. It wasn't bara until the thing played and was in tune. And it was in the right chord when you pressed in the right places. Then it was finished. Same thing with violins, all of that. It was a finished product. So we have in eternity past, in beginnings, you can look that up in Strong's or something and it'll tell you it's a Hebrew plural. They don't translate it beginnings, but it means in eternity past. All right? We're going to study that a little bit in the New Testament. In eternity past, created to a finished product, God, Hashemayim, all right? That's heavens. Hashemayim. Listen to the im on the end of it. What does that mean? What's that tell you? Plural. All right. In the beginning, God created the heavens. Now here's the earth. And the first layer above it, now the earth has not always been like it is today, okay? The first layer above it is called first heaven. The second heaven is where all the stars are. And the third heaven is what we call out there is where the abode of God is. So here we have heavens, all right? Again, a plural word, Hashemayim. Mayim, it means uplifted waters, by the way. Uplifted waters. In eternity past, God created the heavens and the earth, and what this earth looked like, we don't really know. And then it says the earth there, Wiharis, the heavens and the earth. Now, Evidently, on this earth, there was life when God created in eternity past. Something happened. Verse 1 and 2 tells us something happened. All right? We go on. If you'll study this Satan's path up there, you see that where that little blue line is going around? And you'll see that on your chart that you have. In Isaiah 14, 12 through 15, and Ezekiel 28, if you study those two scriptures, you're going to find the dual prophecy in there. It's talking about Satan and the king of Babylon and Satan and the king of Tyre also. Because in every wicked nation in the world, we know that there are angelic forces coexisting with material forces. All right? Now, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, in the original creation of God in eternity past, before, we don't have anything, we don't know much about this. There are drops and pieces here and there in the Bible that tells us about it. What was created in eternity past? We have a heavens and the earth, it tells us. What else? Man wasn't created yet.
Angels.
All right. Angels. Now, we get our word angels right out of the Greek word angelos. And what does angels mean? The term angel. Messenger. All right, it's a messenger. A messenger or a servant of God that goes and is a messenger or a representative. All right? And in this period of time, back before we know what happened, or a lot of what happened, there were three groups of angels that we conjecture. There is one angel in the Bible called an archangel, specified, but we believe that there were three archangels. One of them was Michael. He's specified, isn't he? Michael. And he's over the physical, or not over the physical, but over the spiritual realm of God. And he is the warrior also for God. He is the powerful one. Then there was Lucifer. Have you ever heard of him? Have any of you ever had a personal encounter with that dude? Lucifer. You think he's dogging you sometimes, day and night, don't you? Well, he is. I can assure you that. Read the book of Job. Read what Peter says. He's walking to and fro, seeking whom he may devour now. But there was a period of time when he served God. How long did he do that? I don't know. You know, we just have to say, I don't know. But he did. If you'll read Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14, you'll see that he was a beautiful angel. He's not ugly. He's not some dude running around in a red suit with horns on his head and a pitchfork in his hand. He's beautiful. Yeah. God created beautiful things. But God created angels with a volition. What in the world does that mean? A volition. That means a will. A free will. They could go one way or the other. You know, God could not receive glory from anyone if he made you a puppet, he couldn't get much glory out of it. I mean, a person can create a robot these days and make it look real. They do it in the movies, don't they? And he can run around saying, I love you all day long. But it would only be doing what you programmed it to do. All right? Now, angels were created with the ability to either serve God, that's why he would get glory from them, or rebel against God. He made them perfect. They were sinless and without sin and perfect. God creates perfect things. Okay? Now, Lucifer served God for a while, and then what's the other, that other third bunch of angels? Who's the head of that?
Gabriel.
That's over the message. He's a communicator between God and man. If you want to find out how he does that, you can look and find out in the New Testament where Gabriel talked to Mary, didn't he? Also, Daniel prayed in the book of Daniel for God to answer his prayers, and Gabriel was on the way, and somebody withstood him. Who was it? Lucifer. His name was Satan at that time. Now, Lucifer means light carrier. He was a light carrier, the bearer of light, and he was over the material creation of God. He was the administrator over the material creation of God. And as we study God's eternal purpose, we'll find that God has had different administrators over His kingdom since eternity past. And He has today also. Now, Gabriel was on his way to answer Daniel's prayer, but Lucifer, or Satan, Satan means one who stands against, to stand against or to oppose. Satan stood against Gabriel, and he held off his answer to his prayers for a couple of weeks, and Michael came on the scene and whipped him out of the way, and there was a bunch of angel hair and feathers flying in heaven for a period of time. Okay? We see this. Now, as we look through time, we understand that God has dealt in different ways. We can see up here the creation of earth and man. Now, Genesis 1 and 2 is a real eye-opener from the original language. And it says, and the earth, we haaretz, haya, bohu afuhu. And the earth, she became formless and void. Third person singular, feminine verb. Greek and Hebrew are inflected. In the Hebrew, even the verbs are inflected with gender. So that you know it's masculine, feminine, or neuter. Okay? The earth she became formless and void. And it said darkness was over the faces of the deep, of the abyss. All right? And then we see God reconstructing and putting things back into order. Now, Lucifer was over the material creation of God. But he wasn't satisfied, was he? Now, women, I'm not going to say a whole lot about this. This is a little application to it today. God creates us the way He wants us to be. Some of us have red hair. Some of us have black hair. Some of us have brown eyes. Some of us have blue eyes. But whatever, however we're created, we always want to change it, don't we? We put blue contacts on. We got brown eyes. Somebody's got blue eyes. They want to have brown eyes. They change their hair color and whatever. God made you the way you are. But we're not happy, are we? So many times. All right, Genesis 1 and 1. God created the heavens and the earth. The eternity passed. Something happened to them. Destruction happened. The earth, she became formless and void. Jesus in the New Testament said he saw Lucifer fall as a bolt of lightning to the earth. How many of you have ever been in a lightning storm? It's pretty horrendous. One time I lived in Nevada, up in Fish Lake Valley for a long time. Any of you know where Fish Lake Valley is in Nevada at all? It's out there in the sticks. I did a lot of riding out there. And a lot of praying, and when I lived up there and I worked and helped build up a little church out there and worked among the other Indians up there. I'm Indian also. And dealing with them. And I was out praying and just communicating with God, and out in the hot tub in the middle of the night. I went out there and I would just be alone out there a lot of times and soak in this hot tub with water coming out of there, 105 degrees, and it was an early springtime. And I could hear, boy, the sky was rolling with thunder. And you could see lightning every direction, all the way around. But it was clear. I mean, right where I was, you could look up and see the stars. Just see the stars. And I sat around there for a long time and finally got in my Jeep pickup and started out of there. And the ground was shaking, just shaking. And I got going down there, and I ran into a 6-foot-tall, looked like, wall of water. And it was just rolling. And that was the front of a flash flood. And it was going down there, and I drove that thing through where I thought the road was. And it was bringing trees and sagebrush and everything else with it, just rolling mud and rocks, boulders rolling this big. I finally got so far in there, and one of the limbs off of a tree caught underneath my Jeep pickup and twisted my gas line, and it cut the gas off. So I was stuck in the road with water all around me. And water was running through the cab of the truck, and I didn't know how much more water was coming. So I got out and started walking. And I went out there with my overalls on barefooted. And that was all. I looked behind my seat and I had a pair of hunting boots but no socks. And I had a coat. And I grabbed my gun and I stuck it in my pocket because I didn't want to leave it there. I started walking out of there, and I mean it was something else. Have you ever walked through a flash flood? I walked through about 2.5 miles of that. And it was this deep in water. And I don't know how, except by the grace of God, that I even made it through alive. And I was looking for high ground. And the lightning was lighting up the sky. Finally, I got out of it and got on dry ground past the 2-mile-wide river that was going through this place, or it wasn't a river. And I got out there, and the lightning was running on the ground and hitting things and just blowing up like explosions, like bombs, like dynamite. And one of them hit right in front of me, and I went blind. My retinas completely closed from this flash of light. It was so bright and so powerful. And I fell to the road and walked for 7 more miles feeling of the road. I mean, out onto the main highway. Talk about experience. But I saw how powerful lightning was, and when I think about Jesus talking about, he saw that Satan fall to this earth as a bolt of lightning. I see the powerful energy. The government and insurance company call these flash floods and lightning storms and tornadoes an act of God. It's more of an act of Satan than it is God.
Amen.
It is. You go back to the book of Job again. Figure out where all this stuff comes from. And if God allows certain things to happen, it is His permissive will. It is not His direct will, but He allows it to happen. When you see all of the storms, all of the wars and things in the world, God allows certain things to happen. He guides history like a riverbank. His eternal purpose is going to be done, and it is His unpreventable progress will take place. Now I'll go to John 1 and 1. Caught anyone then? John 1 and 1. I'm going to show you some beautiful stuff here. Brother Phil Neighbors one time was preaching on John 1 and 1, and I talked to him about my translation of that. I've never seen it anywhere, but I gave it to him. And he looked at that, and he came back in a couple of weeks. He said, "Brother, I've been studying about that." So I wrote it down for him on paper. I think you might have seen one of those too someplace. That one brother might have given it to you. And he looked at that, and he said, "You know something?" He said, "No, it's not translated like that in any translation anywhere that I've ever found that he said is right." And he said, "Not only is it right," he said, "it's theologically correct." And he said, "Everything else is wrong. And when I show you what I'm talking about, I don't want to get too complicated for you. But I'm going to show you some things about God's Word, the beauties that are there." Okay?
Amen.
And sometimes, when you study Greek and Hebrew, you have to study the culture of the people and the ideas that were in their heads at the time. And that's one thing I'm going to show you. Because we're sort of, this is Greek, all right. But there's a Hebrew idiom there also, or Hebrew idiom. I know that looks foreign to you. But I'm going to explain it to you. It's Greek. All right? It's Greek. It's N-R-K-A hologos, chi hologos, proton, theon, chi, theos, ein, hologos. All right?
Thank you.
All right. Now I'm going to give you an interpretation of that, translation of it. In beginning. Remember, we saw a while ago? In beginning. The Hebrew word for beginning is barashith, which means beginnings, stacked one upon the other. Now, in absolute extremity of time. Now, how many of you know John 1 and 1 by heart? Or are you there? Yes. What's it say?
In the beginning, John.
In the beginning?
Was the Word.
All right, in the beginning was the Word. That's a bad translation of that. Terrible translation of that, actually. In beginning, that's third person singular. And who is God? What is He? Masculine? Yeah, He is. He's masculine. Third person singular, imperfect, indicative, and active. All right, that little word comes from Amy, that thing. In beginning, kept on being. He kept on being. He continued to be. He never ceased to be. Imperfect tense is a continuous action. Indicative mode is a statement of fact, and active voice is the person, the subject doing the acting, okay? In beginning, kept on being, and then it says, whole logos. And you hear all kinds of ideas about the Greek idea of the logos, the originator of all things. That's not what it's talking about here at all. John wrote the gospel according to John after three gospels had been written, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. There's four gospels, aren't there? The Old Testament says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. So God was going to give us three witnesses that Jesus Christ came and lived. The gospels are the life of Jesus. Matthew's idea of Jesus as the King of Israel. Matthew, Mark, what was Mark? The servant. The servant of the how God became our servant. Luke. What? Luke, the Son of Man, our kinsman redeemer. And John, which he wasn't even going to write it, he tells his disciple Polycarp that he thought two or three witnesses let everything be established. That's according to the law of Moses. But he said God impressed upon his heart that he should write the fourth gospel to prove the absolute deity of Christ. In the Old Testament, when the Hebrew would be reading his Bible, when he would come to the name of Jehovah, now we say the word Jehovah just like, it's so easy. There is no pronunciation for it. It's kind of like, yeah. That's about it. There is no way to pronounce the name Jehovah. The Hebrews referred to him as Adonai, the great God of heaven. Yeah, well, or they would just say the word. The word. When they would come across the name Jehovah in the Old Testament, they would just refer to him as that word. Okay? The word. When they come to that name, the Hebrew scribes would pick up a special pen and write that name with that pen. And that name was referred to as the word, the unspeakable, the eternal word. Now, when John is writing this Gospel of John, he is going to prove the absolute deity of Jesus Christ. That He is and always has been God. How many of you ever heard of the pre-incarnate Christ, the term pre-incarnate Christ? What does that mean?
Pre-existent.
The pre-existent, before He was flesh. All right? Christ before He was flesh. Now, He walked in the garden with Adam, didn't He? We're going to get into that a little bit later on. Christ walked in the garden with Adam. Jehovah, what does the name Jehovah mean? We studied it in Genesis 1 and 2. In the beginnings, or in beginnings, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth she became formless. The word she became, the hagios, that's the root word of Jehovah. She became. So here we have he who shall become. All right? That's the root word of Jehovah. That word Hayah. Okay? The one who shall become. In the Old Testament, God told Moses that he would come to his people. All through the Old Testament, Isaiah 53, Psalm 22, we see the Messiah coming, the Messiah King of Israel coming to his people. God becoming flesh and dwelling among his people. In the beginning, kept on being the Jehovah. The word there should be translated Jehovah because that's who it's talking about. The word of the Old Testament word. In the beginning kept on being the Jehovah, and the Jehovah kept on being toward the God. He was inseparable from God. All right? And then the last part of it, and that's a predicate nominative. That means, mathematically, how many of you know what 2 plus 2 is? All right? It means that this thing over here is this over here. The same thing. One is one. Now, if you look on here, you'll see an Omicron Sigma or an OS on the end of both of these. See that? OS Theos, Ein Hol Logos. Now, in Greek, everything is inflected. There are 8 cases in Greek, nominative, genitive, optative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, and vocative, okay? And every sentence, every the, in a sentence, every noun, every pronoun is all inflected, telling you what part it plays in that verse in the Bible. Okay? Yes, brother.
On Oios, Eos, Logos, would that be the aorial hand?
This is Jehovah.
Jehovah, but the plural version?
And this is Elohim.
Okay, that is Oios.
All right. That word God there. And the word that Jehovah kept on being toward the God and God. Now you can put the in here because grammatically and mathematically, this person here is the same as that person over there. And that's what you call a predicate nominative. A noun on both sides of the linking verb of the same noun. Alright? Hope I'm not losing you. This is equals that. Okay? Absolutely. Grammatically. And what we call mathematically this is that over there. One in the same person.
Deity.
All right?
Deity.
Elohim kept on being the Jehovah. That's what it says. Elohim kept on being the Jehovah. Now turn down to John 1 and 14. Jehovah. Sarks. What do you think that word is? You ever heard of that word, sarks? How about carne, the Latin word, carne?
Flesh.
And the Jehovah flesh became. All right. And the Jehovah flesh became. You just got rid of the Jehovah Witnesses, fellas. Just finished them. That's John 1:1 and John 1:14. And the Jehovah flesh became, third person singular. Aorist tense, that's a punctiliar action, indicative mode, and its middle voice. He became flesh for himself. John 1:18 says, it says in King James something like he declared him. God declared the Son. But it says, it comes from two little Greek words. There, ek and ago. Ek means out of. Do you see that sign back there? It says ek, it, ek it, exit. That means out of it.
Right out.
That's it. Out of it. And this word ago here means I lead, I bring, I go in Greek. God led himself out of eternity into space and time in the flesh of Jesus Christ to redeem you. That's the whole purpose of it. Is God getting bigger? And the word, the Jehovah flesh became. Jehovah flesh became. As we studied, what time do you usually quit, Doug?
Midnight.
Now we've got God established here, don't we?
Yeah.
Now we know that God is going to come in space and time and become flesh to redeem our sinful lives back to Him, our sinful selves. Now, by the way, angels can't be redeemed. They made their decision. All right? They don't procreate. And a lot of people get this mixed up because it's not translated correctly. Here's another. Man is a primary creation of God, not a secondary creation. Man came right from the hand and the person of God. A primary creation of God. Not, he didn't make him from something else. He didn't make a little mud doll and breathe into him life. But it says God made man from the same elements as he made the dust of the ground to become dust.
That's right.
All right? Now, he made man from the same elements as he made the earth. Somebody quote John 3:16 for me. Wait just a minute. So God so loved what?
The world.
The whole cosmos. The word cosmos in Greek. The world. The universe. That he gave his only begotten Son. All right? God, through Jesus Christ, not only is the redeemed man, but the whole material universe back to himself. Because God would be related to that universe. Because he's related to man, because he's made from the same. When God became, Jehovah became flesh, he became related to the whole physical universe to redeem it back to kinsman redeemer.
So that man would line up with the cosmos on the redemption. Then.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. It's even prettier than this. God formed man as he formed the dust of the ground and breathed in the man the breathings of life. You were there in life. Your life was in Adam, and so was your bed in Adam, because all the lives that would ever be born were breathed into Ha'avon there, the Adam. All right? And Adam, for a long time or for a while, God was his teacher. And he was God's one-on-one student. That's really good when you get a student and you're one-on-one.
Amen.
Right on. He was one-on-one. Adam named everything in the heavens and on the earth. How do you think those ancient people knew all about the stars? They couldn't see it with their eyeballs. God showed Adam because Adam was over all of it. Adam took Satan's place. All right? Adam became the administrator of God's kingdom. His material kingdom. All right? He was over it. He said, you walk down the earth. That's what he told him to do. Go out and walk down and protect it. All right? Walk down the earth and protect it. Then he says that after Adam named all these animals, that he didn't find a helper worthy of him. So God put Adam to sleep. Adam, Ha'avon. And there's a little funny Hebrew word for man. It's called Ish. 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 And woman is Isha. All right? And our English word woman means what?
Out of man.
Out of man. That's it. And in Hebrew, you know what Isha means? Out of man. It's simple as that. Out of man. God put Adam to sleep, and he took from Adam's sides, plural, from his flesh, not his rib now, but his sides. He took flesh and bone and blood, and he took out a masculine man and he formed feminine man, mankind. All right, the word man there means feminine mankind. Now, Eve is a secondary creation of God, not primary, because Eve is made from something else, isn't she? Man, it comes right straight from the hand of God, and woman comes out of man. So when woman came out of man, there was a void in man's life. So God created marriage, and he put them back together, and they became one. Isn't that beautiful?
Amen.
That's how beautiful that is. God created that. He separated man. And this secondary creation, that's why man and woman, that's why you husband and wives, when you've been together for all those years, you become like one person.
Amen.
Because you are one person.
Amen.
That's how you were created. Adam was created as he created the dust of the ground. He put him to sleep, and he took from his sides a woman, and he put them back together in marriage. And Adam was supposed to be protecting this woman and guarding the garden. This was a beautiful place. There weren't any... How many of you ever stepped on a sandbar?
Oh, yeah.
How about goat heads?
Oh, yeah.
How about fox tails?
Oh, yeah.
There wasn't any of that stuff around. In the beginning, there wasn't any of that stuff around. God told man to stay busy. And mankind is always looking for some way to retire. And God says, stay busy. It'll keep you out of trouble. There's an old saying that says, idle hands are the devil's workshop.
Amen.
Well, it's true. Adam was supposed to be busy. Now, Adam was communicating with the animals in the Garden of Eden. Did you know that all the animals got along fine? One of them didn't eat the other one or anything. That's the way they got along back then. And again, during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ over here, the animals, the lion will lay down with the lamb, and they won't eat each other. The snake, a child, will be able to play with a snake like a black toy.
Amen.
Right? These were Adam's toys that were in the garden. He had been talking with them and everything. How many of you have a little dog? How about a cat? How about a mouse or something? Dakota, my daughter, has got a pig named Wilbur. She was little, and we got her about 15 pounds. Now she weighs 500. She has that pig is white, just like Wilbur in the movie. And then she's got a white rabbit. She has a white mouse, a white goat, a white pony. What else? All these little animals. Now, she loves her animals. This is part of her life. It's her world. That's what Adam's world, too. And Adam was supposed to protect his world from all evil. Now, God told Adam to guard it. For him to guard this world. What's he going to guard it from? Predators. Now, the animals were killing each other. All right? But who was the murderer from the very beginning?
Yeah.
Satan. Now, Eve is standing in the garden, out of Adam's sight, evidently, where she should have been. All right, if he was supposed to be taking care of her. She was out of his sight, and she was talking to a Nahash. What is that word, Nahash? That's a deceiving serpent. That sounds bad. Nahash. Say that word, Nahash. That even sounds bad, doesn't it? In that little Jungle Book, that snake kisses to that little boy, and everything will go, shh. Well, that's what this word means. The deceiving serpent. Nahash. All right? And the woman was talking to this deceiving serpent. Now, the serpent had legs and walked upright, evidently, at that time. And she's talking to this serpent, and the serpent is quoting God. Except somebody has indwelt this serpent, this snake, this Nahash. If you'll go through the whole Bible, you'll find out that demons look to dwell in human or animal flesh. Just remember that. I was talking to a brother here tonight when I first came in here, and he said, "You're going to teach us something." I said, "I hope to teach you something that will keep you busy for the rest of your lives."
Amen.
I'm going to give you a license to learn. There you are, brother. I want to keep you going. I want you so interested in the Word of God that you can see what you can grasp and hold on to. Brother.
Yes.
No, he came back. He came up later.
So why does it say he was with her, though?
Okay. Let's go to the story. Go back. We'll answer that one just as we go. Now, the serpent is talking to the woman. All right? And there's a time element there in the Hebrew verbs that takes place in the meanwhile. Okay? Something happens. The serpent is talking to the woman. He's quoting God, and he tells her, "This fruit looks good. It's going to taste good, and you're going to be smart. And God doesn't want you to be smart like Him. You can be like God." All right? You can be like God. What was Satan's problem? He wanted to be God. All right, he wanted to be God. Now, she took and ate of it. And what do you think? Do you think at the point that she ate of it, what do you think? She knew that she was messed up. Now here's Adam's other half. Something that's extremely pointed. The Bible tells us that the woman was deceived by the snake, by Satan. But man sinned willingly because he didn't want to be separated from the woman. All right? I'm going to teach you just a few more minutes, and I'm going to turn you back loose to your pastor.
Can we keep you?
Then, here comes a man, and he willfully, knowingly, with all knowledge, he's walked with God for no telling how long. Mm-hmm. And he willfully and willingly, first degree murder, you know what that is? That's pre-planned out.
Yep.
Oh, this is first degree sin. He willfully, knowledgeably partakes of that fruit. And God told him, from the Hebrew language, He said, "You taste of that fruit, you touch that tree, and dying you shall die." Dying. In the process of dying, you're finally going to kick the bucket. You're going to be just as dead. Dying, you will die. Now, the snake said, "You're not going to die." God said, "You'll die. You're not going to die." They died. And then, by the way, in the process of all this, a woman is capable of having 1,000 children. Did you know that? Eve probably lived close to 1,000 years and probably had 1,000 children.
Wow.
Any?
My wife would never make it.
Well, let's wait for the rest of the story now. All right. Woman is capable of having 1,000 children. She was going to have children. Okay? And so what happens? They realize they have sinned. So now we have the first works for salvation group here. What do? They go out and grab fig leaves and start sewing them together to cover up their sin. And then when Jehovah God walks in the garden, which He's been walking with Adam all this time, Jehovah God starts walking in the garden, and instead of running to God, Adam runs away and hides himself. Now God is, He's omnipresent, isn't He? What's that mean? He's everywhere at the same time. Now He's omniscient, isn't He? What's that mean? He knows everything, and He's omnipotent or all-powerful. Now God comes in the garden and He said, "Adam, where are you?" That's what He asked him. "Adam, where are you?" Do you think God knew where Adam was?
Yes.
He didn't say it for that He was looking for him. He wanted Adam to know where he was. And what did Adam say to God? "I'm hiding out. I've done something wrong. You know, I was afraid. I heard you walking in the garden. And he said, Adam, have you eaten or from the tree that I told you not to do? And then what did Adam do? He blame shifted. That's exactly what he did. He said, that woman you gave me made me do it. That woman you gave me made me do it. It's your fault, God. You're the fault. Well, God said to the man, he said, from now on, the ground is not going to bring forth its fruitfulness that it did before, and thorns and thistles will be on the ground because of you, Adam. You weren't busy enough before, so now I'm going to really make you busy. You're going to have to really work hard now to produce the fruit of the land so you can eat. By the way, they were vegetarians. They didn't eat any meat at this time at all. And he said, by the sweat of your nostrils. When you bend over and you're working out in the garden, where's the sweat fall from? The Hebrew says nostrils. Not from your brow, but from your nostrils. Okay. Then he turns to the woman who had been accused. And he said, woman, what have you done here? And she said, the devil made me do it. Another blame shifter. And he said, because you have been deceived and you've done this thing, from now on, you're going to be obedient to your husband. And in childbirth, you're going to have a lot of pain. Now, women, how many of you women have had children? Did that curse really take place? It's really bad, isn't it? That is the curse. You could have 1,000 children and not have any pain. But you chose the wrong pathway. And that was a curse to the woman. And then the snake. God turned to the snake. Some way that snake had some volition. Or he would have cursed that volition. Or cursed that snake. Because he told that snake, he said, on your belly you shall walk all the rest of your life and you shall eat your dinner in dirt. And how many of you ever seen snakes? Like look on a glass. That's exactly what the Hebrew, you will walk on your belly from now on. And you shall eat your dinner in the dust of the ground. The New Testament says, as in Adam, all die. Every one of us, you can say, well, if I'd have been in the garden, I wouldn't have done that. Hogwash.
Yeah.
You would have done it. That's the reason for the 1,000-year reign of Christ right here. They're going to do it anyway.
Right.
Man will sin knowing there is God. They'll see God and see the glory of God, and they will sin anyway.
Right. In utopia.
In a perfect garden. Adam was put in a perfect paradise garden. The word paradise, as we see it in the Bible, that's another word for heaven. That's what that garden was like. It was a paradise. It was a guarded pleasure park. That's what the word paradise. It comes from the Persian word. It goes into Hebrew, comes right into Greek, paradiso, and then right into English, paradise. It's never translated. It means pleasure park. Man was in a pleasure park. When the second Adam came, he came to a world that did not want him. He was the king of eternity, the king of glory, and he came to a people that knew him but didn't want him. Adam was put in a paradise and Jesus was put in a wilderness. And yet Jesus overcame. By the way, the name Jesus, it should be never been translated Jesus. It was Joshua.
Yeah.
The Old Testament word Joshua was the same thing as the New Testament Jesus.
That's right.
All right? There's a whole lot of other words there too, same way. But that means Jehovah saves.
Amen.
That's what Jesus or Joshua means. Jehovah saves.
Amen.
And it carries that. All these things were types of what Jesus was to come. Jesus came, and he was the second Adam, and he can give you eternal life.
Right.
Your first Adam gave you death. Women, I got some good news for you. The sin nature of mankind is not passed on to the woman. You cannot pass on the sin nature to your children. It comes from your husband. That's why Jesus was born without sin, because Mary did not pass on the sin nature. Any woman that was a virgin could have had that child at that time, and that child would not have had the sin nature, the Messiah.
That's right.
But the woman doesn't pass on the sin nature.
That's right.
And that's why the Messiah could be born without sin. That's the way God made it. Doesn't make you women feel a little bit less. But as an Adam, all die. As an Adam, all die. But as in Jesus Christ, all can be made live again. Thank you, brother. It's yours.
Praise God.
That was good.
That's just one third of what we get, and I'll tell you, I told you you're going to be in for a blessing.
Amen.
And I'm going to ask if you would stand, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.